Have you ever had one of those Sundays where if you weren't preaching, like you're not sure you would even go to church at all? Like, why get out of, like, I'm not even real. Have you ever had one of those Sundays? Yeah, me neither, okay? I was just playing around, all right? Trick question, all right? But the fact of the matter is, some of y'all are here. In fact, everyone's here for a reason. Why did you get out of bed today and come to CCW to church? Why are you here? I mean, of all the places that you could be, you chose to be here today, right now. So as I ask myself that question sometimes, I think, you know, maybe you're curious as well, and I bet your neighbor's curious too. So for the next 30 seconds or so, just kind of share with your neighbors around you, okay, why you came to CCW today, all right? What got you out of bed and brought you here this morning, all right? Go ahead and share that with each other for just a few seconds, and then we'll jump into our message. All right, it's possible by some of the conversation is like, I'm here because I didn't have a choice. Like, anybody like, okay, you were told you're coming to church today. All right, that's not a great reason, okay? But the fact of the matter is that there are hundreds of people in here with hundreds of different reasons for being in church this morning. Different motivations, different backgrounds, different personalities, different ideas of what church ought to be, different expectations of what's going to happen or what should happen when you get here. And the reason is because there are different shapes of people in this room. Now, look around, okay? I know what you're thinking. Yeah, different shapes. But we're not talking about the physical shapes of the people here, which there are plenty of diverse shapes. We're talking about the person that you are. The shape of you, who God made you to be, like we've been talking about from Ephesians chapter 2, that God created you in Christ to do good works. You. He prepared in advance for you to do. The shape of you. The person sitting in your chair. And we're kind of going through this series, and we're going to start next week really diving into this acronym that we like to use around here, this S-H-A-P-E, shape. The S would be for your spiritual gifts. H, your heart. A, abilities, special abilities that only you have, maybe. P, your personality. And E, the experiences that only you have. No one else has those. And the fact is, this room is filled with literally thousands of examples of shapes. You make up the shape of CCW. You guys, you are the shape of this family. Which is probably why we have so many unique ideas about how church ought to be, how CCW ought to look. Maybe, you know, the building, maybe how it looks, or the programs, how they're run, the music style, how it should sound, the leaders, the preachers on stage. We all have opinions about how great CCW is sometimes, or even how lame CCW is sometimes. So when we talk about our unique shape, when we talk about who we are as a church family, we have to go back to the teaching of Jesus. In fact, when we get bent out of shape about the church that we are sometimes, we need to go back to the words of Jesus. And he had a lot to say about God's people, about his church, especially in the Sermon on the Mount. What I want to do today is just take a couple of verses from that sermon, from Matthew chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, turn in Matthew 5, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. Because here's the thing, you know, whether I'm preaching or not, whether I'm serving or not, probably like you, I want to belong to and I want to serve in a church that is shaped the way Jesus tells us to be. And I want to, and I believe that church, our church, is shaped to shine. Shaped to shine. Look at Matthew 5, 14 through 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A town, a city, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. No. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, Jesus says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. But I love this. Jesus just kind of breaks it down. He's talking about something all of us understand, light. He's talking about light here. And in Jesus's day, light was even more of a commodity. It was more relevant than it even is today. I mean, we take for granted. We walk into a building and we're going to be able to see each other because the lights are what? They're on. We kind of take that for granted. Last week, we experienced daylight savings time began. I know some of y'all are still getting used to that. But from what I understand, daylight savings time happened because light is a commodity for farming. It's important to have longer days. I know as a kid, light was important to have those extra long days because we like to play baseball outside. And then when the sun started going down, it was like, oh man, now we got to go in and do homework. You know, like, so when daylight savings really, light mattered to us, and I think it matters to you. It still matters. In fact, ask anyone who works for with Lacucci if light matters to people. It's like the minute the power goes out, it's like beep, you know, everything goes nuts. Jesus is teaching his people in just these few short verses that his people need to be relevant, a commodity to the world. Just like light matters to the world, his people must matter to the world. This church must matter to the world. So the question is this: are we really a light to the world? And I hope so. I hope this church, like a city on a hill, is so relevant and we cannot be ignored, that Jesus cannot be ignored. So the next question is, if CCW went out, if our light stopped existing, would anybody in our world even care? We are shaped to shine. And I believe if we're shaped to shine and be in the kind of church that Jesus created us to be, then we will be relevant. We will be a commodity. And it starts by being a church that is shaped by the light of the world himself, Jesus, a church shaped by the light. I got to ask you a question. Would you rather live in the light or in the dark? Would you rather live in the light or darkness? Okay, yeah. Okay, so unless you're kind of weird, you probably said light. Now, the thing about light is that light has a source. It comes from somewhere. In this case, this lighter. Now, I'm not a scientist. I don't actually know how fire is made in this thing, but it's pretty cool. I can snap my fingers and it's there. All right, probably some elements or oxygen mixing with neutrons or something like that. Anyway, if you know how fire is made, you can tell me afterwards, all right? But fire has a source. Maybe it's electricity or batteries, or in this case, these candles are, you know, have a fire that's been lit. It's important. Light comes from somewhere. That's my point. It doesn't just happen. Light has a source. The sun is a source of light. When it comes to spiritual light, to eternal light, to spiritual life, eternal life, out of darkness, out of death, into light, into life, the one and only source of that light, of that life, is Jesus. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who left heaven to come to earth and lived a perfect life in front of our eyes and died on the cross and rose from the grave and proved that life comes through him. Jesus, the one and only source. He tells us to be the light of the world, and we are the light of the world, but only because Jesus is the source of that light, that life himself. We're going to look at some of the words of the apostles because God shares his word through these men. And I think it's interesting that he gives us this whole idea through John and through Paul and through Peter. So check this out, okay? John chapter 1, God says this, verse 4 and 5, in him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Talk about Jesus. Seven chapters later, John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, listen to the words of Jesus. I am the light of the world. I am. That's who I am. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You believe that this morning? Listen to the words of Jesus. So, as a Christian church, we are shaped to shine by Jesus, the perfect Son of God. And we want to be a church who lives in union with God, who walks with God himself, a holy God, through Jesus, his Son, because of Jesus and in Jesus. We want to live for Jesus. We want to walk together with him, to know him and to love him and to follow him as his family, as his people. We are shaped literally by the Son of God, the King of Kings, the light of our salvation right now and for all of eternity. In fact, our church mission statement is the words of Jesus, the mission of Jesus, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He says to go and to make disciples. Disciples of who? The disciples of Jesus. And to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And he says to teach them to obey who? Jesus. So we will focus now and forever on being a church that is shaped by Jesus, so that we can be a church that is shaped to be the light of the world himself. We're shaped by Jesus so that we can shape to be the church Jesus called us to be, the light of the world, to be Jesus' people. That's us. Look at Matthew 5:14. Going back to this passage, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." This is who we are, the light of the world, a town, a city. Now think about a town is a lot of what? A lot of people. Okay, just think about yourselves here this morning, all right? Neither do people, there's that word people, light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That would be no good if all of a sudden, you know, I don't have a bowl, so I'm just kind of, okay. Which one's helping us out right now? All right, just a little example, all right? We don't put lights under a bowl. Instead, we put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. I think it's interesting if we cut the lights right now, y'all would be depending on one little candle for light. Pretty cool. Don't do that, okay? If you're a Christ follower, and this building is full of Christ followers, full of people who are shining the light of Jesus together, y'all, like a city on a hill, a city of lights. I think it's interesting as you drive up the CCW, we're kind of on a hill, but we want to shine. And we want to shine in a way that we cannot be hidden and we cannot be kept secret and we cannot be put out. Our goal is to bring the light of Jesus, to share the light of Jesus, the hope of Jesus to the world, because we are Jesus' people. This is our identity. This is our shape, the core of who we are. God describes us through another apostle, Apostle Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Look at what God says. He says, "You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, Jesus' nation." That's us, God's special possession. Like we belong to him. He owns us. That you may, why? That you may declare the praises. Declare the praises like we've been doing this morning of him who, he did something amazing. Look at what, who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous, marvelous light. Verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God, Jesus' people. And we are shaped to worship and to praise God. That's why we do what we do here. And we're also shaped to live out that worship, not just in this room, but in everywhere we go as children of light, of people of light. Look at what Ephesians chapter 5, the words of the Apostle Paul now. We've seen John, we see Peter. Look what Paul says. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9. For you were once darkness. That was your identity. You were once darkness. Didn't say in darkness. He said you were literally darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Like your identity, your everything changed. Live as children of light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Man, this is just amazing to me to think that sitting in right here in front of me is a church that has been shaped by Jesus to be the light of the world in Jesus, that you are that you are shaped because of transformed, this place has transformed lives, just shaped this place. Look, night and day, dark and light, you are different because of Jesus. The fact is, you are probably sitting next to someone who would say, yeah, that was me. I was shaped by darkness. I was darkness, but now I've been transformed. Man, I have been shaped by the light of Christ. Yeah, I came from the darkness of prison into the light of freedom. I came from the darkness of adultery or sexual sin or pornography addiction into the light of purity. Do you see it there? I came from the darkness, the lies of depression, materialism, alcoholism, you name it, into the light of goodness and righteousness and truth. Man, you are sitting around Jesus' people. Jesus' people can say, yeah, my life has changed because of him. In fact, they would say that in my darkness, my only hope was Jesus. In our darkness, our only hope is Jesus. And walking in the light as children of light means that we are shaped by the values and the habits of our Savior, Jesus. So our core values are things like biblical truth and inspired worship and real relationships, things Jesus did, selfless service, as Kevin talked about earlier, and Spirit-led living. Going back to the Apostle John, listen to what God says. If we walk, I think it's interesting there's an if there, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Just think about that for a moment. Man, we have fellowship with each other in the light. We are family. That's why you need to be in a small group, to experience that fellowship with one another, to walk together as children of light together. And you see in that verse, we're also shaped by forgiveness. We are shaped by forgiveness through the blood of Jesus that purifies us from all sin. So, yeah, we forgive each other just like we have been forgiven. We forgive one another. And speaking of one another, let's go back to the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Listen to what God says about the light. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And then with that behind, then you will shine. You will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. The word of life there is of course, the Bible, the word of God, that we're a church shaped by the Bible, that you are a Jesus person shaped by the Bible. And the Bible tells us, and we have to take this seriously, to be shaped by unity, shaped by togetherness, and also to be shaped by loving each other in a way that we will take God seriously, especially here. We will not argue, and we will not complain. Do everything without complaining or arguing. I'm reminded of Psalm 119, 105, where God says his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we take that seriously. And you talk about a church that shines bright. You know, many of you, and I apologize for this, but many of you have probably, maybe you've come from a church that just couldn't get along, and it just, man, it's like, I'm out. Light's not shining. I'm done. Complaining, I'm done with the arguing. But a church that gets this, unity, oh, look what Paul says, you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Y'all, I went outside last night, and I don't know if you did or not, but it's just intoxicating to look up at the stars in the sky, and so that is the most beautiful thing, and you're just drawn to them. You see what Paul's saying here? We want to be a church, like a city on a hill that people are drawn to because of the way we love one another. Shaped by Jesus, the light of the world, to be his light in the world, shaped to shine the light of Jesus. Matthew 5:16, Jesus again, he says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others. Remember those stars in the sky? Just let your light shine before others that they may see What are the, I mean, this is interesting because we're not stars in the sky. I mean, you know, but we do have something to show off. Watch this. You, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's beautiful. You see, we're shaped to shine in a way that the world will see us. How? How do we do that? You see it there? Good deeds. Good deeds. And as a result of our good deeds in the name of Jesus, they will glorify our Father in heaven. You say, man, shine, like I'm no star. I don't know what you're, you know, I don't even shine that bright most days. You know, like I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just a kid. I don't shine. You know, I'm nothing special. I'm not that outgoing. You know, I've just got a blue-collar job, not much of an education. How am I gonna shine? Look, you don't have to shine big to shine bright. And in fact, look, our deeds aren't the big deal here anyways. Jesus is the big deal. Jesus didn't say big deeds. He said do good deeds. Just do something and do something on your hill, right where you're at, on your lampstand. And you can and you are and you will. And we're going to continue to be a church that encourages you to do this. We want to train and equip and help you, support you to be the light of the world right where you're at. And you are, and I love it, man. I think about this, man. You are shining the light, man. With every haircut in your barbershop, you are shining. Man, in your beauty shop, man, you're with every landscaping project, with every little baby bottle that you filled up, you are shining the light of Jesus. You are shining the light of Jesus at your school, in your office, on the line that you work in, on top of that pole, or wherever you might be during that day. You are shining the light with your neighbors, raising your kids, caring for the people that you know. You are CCW, shining the light of Jesus. One good deed at a time. One life at a time. Just like Paul says, Acts 13:47, he says, this is what the Lord has commanded you. God's word, right out of Isaiah 49. He says, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, to people that don't know me, I have made you a light that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Salvation, man, we have to shine. We've got to shine and bring salvation through Jesus to the ends of all of the earth, to every human being within our influence, within your influence. So that's why we support missionaries around the world. Good deeds. In your community, in our community, city on a hill, good deeds. Our neighborhood, like things through, we talked about last week, the Halloween roast, good deeds. In your homes. Yeah, moms, dads, kids, we want you to be a shining light in your home. So we're going to talk about marriage, and we're going to talk about parenting, we're going to talk about family. You can shine there. In fact, if we disappeared off the face of the earth, if our, you know, for some reason or another, people would miss us here at CCW. And I praise God for that because of the way you're serving him here. I know two football teams that would miss CCW very much because we feed them on Thursdays. In fact, I know other schools that would. I know basketball teams that would miss us. I know volleyball teams and I know pickleball people that would miss this place. They would notice if we disappeared. I know Taekwondo would notice if we disappeared. I know that the supervisor of elections would notice. I know hurting people in need of counseling who come to Building C would notice, to Cornerstone. I know special needs kids and special Olympians would notice. Our neighbors who come through our doors each week for help or for food boxes would notice. And you would notice. Because as you've experienced this morning, this is a special place that you can come to and invite your friends to, where we will glorify our Father in heaven. I would miss this place. You would too. Make no mistake about it. We're a family and we're not perfect. Y'all, I mean, we're messy. I mean, you guys know about families, right? I mean, we're a messy one. We're going to mess things up sometimes. Not on purpose, okay? Not on purpose. It's just that in order to shine, you know, sometimes we got to take risks. We're going to stretch a little bit. In fact, sometimes we have to come to terms with the idea that we would do just about anything short of sin to reach people for Jesus, to shine for Jesus. And the truth is, we want everyone to know that they belong before they believe. You belong here. Your friends belong here. You're loved here. And we're not perfect. I don't have to tell you that. We're not even close to being perfect. But we have a perfect Father. We have a perfect Father in heaven, and we have a perfect Savior. So I'm going to ask you to pray to Him for this church, that we would truly be a city on a hill, that we would continue to do the work that He has given us, to pray for me, to pray for our leaders, to pray for the people sitting around you, to pray to our Father, because we must be a church shaped by prayer. This is His church, not ours. We've got to rely on God 100% and Him alone to make us shine. You know, we're really never probably going to be about shiny buildings and budgets, the number of bottoms and seats, you know, but we truly do want to be shaped to shine, shaped by the source of light Himself, Jesus, and shaped to be the light of the world, as Jesus told us to, His light. And God's blessed us. Man, God has blessed us, and we praise Him, give Him all the glory and all the honor. And the beauty about light is that light helps us to see each other, to see the things around us. And as we look ahead to 2020, which is really hard to believe, we're looking to God for 2020 vision. And as we look back, and God's got amazing things planned for us. I know that He does. And as we look back on 2019, we can praise God for what we have seen by His light, the things that we have seen Him do. So for the next few minutes, we're going to look ahead, and we're going to look back. We're going to celebrate. I'm going to invite Dave McGrew to come to the stage. Dave is coming on behalf of our elders to share with us our annual congregational meeting, and he's got some pretty inspiring things to share with you and as far as the future and take us through. And then after that, we're going to show you a very special year in review video and have a word of prayer, and then close with a song of celebration. Now, is that you? Pre-goatee. Before Dave brings our meeting, I thought it'd be good, just like we kind of did last week, for you to get to know him a little bit. And I want to ask him a few questions, if that's all right. Not set the stage on fire. All right.
I didn't know they put that up there first service. So people were telling me after service, where'd that picture come from?
We have our ways, Dave. We have our ways. Yep.
35 years ago.
Wow. Awesome, man. Yep. And that, by the way, is Dave's wife, Dawn. Dave and Dawn came to CCW, as you can tell.
She doesn't look that way anymore. Oh, well, neither do I. But you know.
Years and years and years and years and years and years and years ago. Maybe some brown hairs ago, too. Like I got room to talk. But Dave and Dawn have seen just about everything and served in just about every way possible here at CCW. And on a personal level, I really do appreciate Dave's friendship. Dave, I appreciate your leadership for just in ways that you guys would never know, and he wouldn't want you to know, but just how he's ministered to me personally. And also for the way you and your wife shine like Jesus, like very few people I know. So thank you for that. Appreciate you. And I just wanted to ask you a few questions, because as an elder here and as a leader, I know you didn't start that way. So how were you discipled and shaped or discipled to find your shape and actually begin serving here at CCW?
Well, I think my first discipleship regarding service was what my parents showed me. I grew up in a Christian home, and they showed me that being involved in a church meant you served. And so I always saw service. I had that example set before me. So I'll remind you parents who've got kids watching you that, you know, that's where it begins. It begins by you setting an example and showing them. Now, I had to go my own way for a while. You know, I did the prodigal son routine and disappeared. But at the point that I came to my senses and came back to God and committed my life to Christ, I was converted in a church that, like this church, taught that this is what you do. You serve. You don't, you know, you didn't get saved to sit. You got saved to serve.
Hmm. So how did that start for you? How did you figure out, okay, this is, I'm obviously kind of a shape here, but I want to figure out where I fit in at?
Well, I was involved in some smaller churches, and obviously when I came here, this was a smaller church. So there was, in the small churches, there's always stuff to do, and the people that are going on our church plants find that stuff out pretty quick, that there's a lot of things that need to be done, and you're the person to do it. So there are always evident needs to step into. So one thing I would tell you, if you don't know where you belong, first thing to do is to step into any need that gets mentioned, because you find out where you belong if you don't know where you belong, and sometimes you find out by finding out you don't belong there. I really admire a couple people I've seen over the years who have, like I'm saying, didn't know exactly where they belong. That's never been a problem for me, by the way, not knowing where I belong. But others I've seen that have just one ministry after another gotten involved, committed themselves to it, did the best they could, figured out that really wasn't the place for them, and then moved on to a different place until they found out where they did indeed belong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned Don earlier, and I think it's, I don't know if you started serving as a couple or not, but I admire Dawn, by the way, and I know she, maybe if she's here, she's probably hiding because she's pretty low profile, but Dawn serves in our special needs ministry here on Friday night, and Dave supports her and is included in that as well, and it's just really cool to see the work that he's doing through Upward Bound, through Dawn does. And did you guys serve together at points before that? Did you remember?
Not so much. As a matter of fact, some people say, are you married? Because they never see us together, but we have very different skill sets, different talents, and so because of our shape, serving together becomes a problem at times. So we each go to where God has appointed us. We go to our separate corners and do our stuff for God. We worship together. We're together. We've been together now for next year 40 years.
Wow, awesome.
But yeah, unlike a lot of other couples, we've never done a lot of ministry together in that sense.
Yep. Here on campus, what he won't tell you is their homes, I've been there with the two of them, and hospitality and the way that you serve at home and welcome everyone that comes in is pretty amazing too. So I don't know, is everything you've tried just worked for you? Like, boom, like you just kind of have that magic touch in ministry, or?
Oh, no, there's been some things I definitely shouldn't do. teaching children, that's one of those things. And that's another reason Dawn and I don't serve. I mean, much of her Christian life, she served in teaching kids. I tried doing that several times. Didn't go well any of the times. So I don't do that anymore.
Yep. Well, I appreciate that, because we won't get it right every time. As Dave said, kind of feel your way around and see where you're shaped, and then maybe, and we want to help everyone do that. But man, it is cool. And I know you've got plenty of stories to share. If you have any questions for Dave or whatever, he'll be around. Obviously, he's pretty accessible, and we'll be able to talk with you, pray with you, whatever. But Dave, I just, kind of want to send you to the pulpit for our congregational meeting. But again, on a personal level, I just appreciate you and what you mean to us, you and all of our elders. And Dave didn't become an elder overnight. He's been doing it for a long time. In fact, he's probably got some horror stories he could share with you in secret, but I won't do that now. But this horror stories might be a little...
No, that's probably a good term. Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah.
But I won't share the horror stories. Mm-hmm. But I am the only man that I'm aware of that stood for eldership three times before I got elected.
Oh, wow. Yep.
So it was not an easy journey. God had to use some people to knock off some very rough edges on the way I was exercising the gifts that I had been given. So it was a journey.
Good. Praise the Lord for that, and praise the Lord for those men and who helped shape you, and for you, Dave, for what you're doing for us. So thank you. Let's give Dave a hand as he steps to the pulpit and shares our meeting with us.